are we in Christ? Oops, Nelly, sorry, John.
I don't want to say me that.
Yes, I am who the Bible says I am. I can have what the Bible says I can have, and I can do what the Bible says I can do. So what the Bible says I can do, what's the Bible saying about who you are in Christ? You're a child of God. Now we can dismiss that very quickly and very easily, but it's something special to be a child of God. We're delivered from Satan's kingdom into God's kingdom. And we're looking at kingdom, aren't we? The unseen kingdom. We're more than conquerors through Christ. Again, for each of these things, we need to get hold of them and not just say them off quickly. We've got to let them chew on them, meditate on them, savor them, receive them. We are more than conquerors through Christ. We're joint heirs through Jesus Christ. Joint heirs to what? The kingdom. We're partakers in God's divine nature. You know, God has put his seed within us. Holy Spirit is within us. And that's God's divine nature. And he wants us using and demonstrating his nature. We're fellow citizens with the saints and the household of God. Yeah. I know some of you get embarrassed when I call you saints, but that's who you are. That's what the Bible says. And we're fellow citizens of heaven, God's kingdom, household of God. And we are qualified. Yes. You think, well, I didn't take an exam? You are qualified to share in his inheritance. You're qualified because you've asked Jesus into your life. You're qualified because you're born again. You're qualified from being a child, as you were a child. These are what God says. And they're just some of them. You know, I keep bringing you these every week because I want you to get them into your minds. But further from your minds, I want them to your heart. So it's part of your being. So you recognize, this is who I am. To get rid of this Britishness, that, oh, that's not me. No. You know, if God says it, it's true. It's a fact. No matter who disputes those facts, well, actually, when anyone's disputing those facts, they're calling God a liar. That's very, very dangerous ground to be on. If God says it, it's true. Why? Because one of the few things that God cannot do is lie. How we receive these things determines the outcome. Are we submitting or bringing the things of God to our minds, to the mind of man? Because if we do that, the outcome, as we submit things to our mind, can be unbelief. I don't believe that. It can be rebellion. I'm not doing that. Or it can be religion. When we go along following the rules, following the procedures, and the routines. However, if we submit our minds to God, to the things, to the Word of God, that allows God to teach us, and we're being open to him, we get faith and a renewed mind. See, it's just the way you put it. Are we submitting our mind to God, or are we submitting God's Word to our mind? One's the right way, one's the wrong way. So submit your mind to God if you want faith and a renewed mind. Remember Paul when he was speaking to Romans in 12:2, do not be conformed to this world. Don't go along with it. Don't be shaped. Don't be manipulated by the mold of the world. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Are we open to God as he reveals more to us? Because God's revealing constantly. Are we prepared to receive it? Or do we keep hold of what we've got and I'm safe with that and I ain't going any further? Paul again to the Romans in 10. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of God. The Passion says, faith then is birthed in a heart that responds to God's anointing, to God's anointed utterance of the anointed one. Faith is birthed in our hearts if we respond to the things of God. Faith is birthed when we hear, when we listen, when we take on board the word of Christ. The promise God made to Abraham was he and his offspring. You know, Abraham's offspring, that's us. A lot of people tend to think, oh, that's just the Jews. No, it's not. That's us. We're grafted in, aren't we? The promise that God made to Abraham and his heirs, it was that we were heirs. We are heirs with Abraham and his family, because we're part of the Abrahamic family. And we are a joint heir with Christ. Romans 4:16 in the ESV says, true, that is why it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace. That is why it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace. But it goes on, and be guaranteed to all his offspring. Promise resting on grace if we receive it in faith. It's a faith that we receive the grace. The Amplified puts it, we'll just get that turned up. And get the right section. Therefore, inheriting the promise depends entirely on faith. That is, confident trust in the unseen God. In order that it may be given as an act of grace, his unmerited favor and mercy. That's what God's grace is. Unmerited favor and mercy. You don't deserve it. You've done nought to earn it. You haven't paid for it. But God says, there you are. You can have it. So that the promise will be legally guaranteed to all the descendants of Abraham. So the promise, we've got faith, confident trust in the promise that God gave is going to be given to us. Through mercy, we receive grace, God's unmerited favor. In Romans 5, verse 2, Paul reiterates, through him we also have access by faith into this remarkable state of grace in which we firmly and safely and securely stand. Let us rejoice in our hope and the confident assurance of experiencing and enjoying the glory of our great God, the manifestation of his excellence and power. Now, there's an awful lot packed into that verse when you unpack it with the Amplified, isn't it? It's something we've got there. But he's saying, let us rejoice. Rejoice at this remarkable state that we're in. This remarkable state of grace. We are experiencing, we are to enjoy the glory of our God as he manifests his excellence and power. Okay. Well, I like that idea that God's glory and God's power is going to be manifest in and through me. In and through you. Now, do we think about that and think that can't be possible? Or do we say, God, there you are, I give you that. That's my mind. Humanly speaking, that doesn't seem right. But in you, I'm going to believe it. That your power is going to be demonstrated through me. What have I done? Nothing. But God says, I've called you and I've chosen you. I've appointed you and I've anointed you. So let's receive that. That's what the Word of God says. So let's receive it. Can we have the... I want us to choose now that we are submitting things of God to our mind. You can make that choice or not. As we submit our mind to God, he'll build our faith and extend grace and mercy to us. So I've just got this prayer declaration, whichever way you want to say it. If you want to say it, you've had a chance to read it, do so. If not, don't bother. Father, we present our minds, our bodies, ourselves to the power that will quicken us in every area. Jesus, we come to you, the resurrection and the life. I believe in Jesus, the one who died and rose again. I trust my life to the hand of the living one, Jesus the Messiah, the one who conquered death so that I may have life and live to glorify God. I believe the word of God. I want to offer myself, my mind, to the conqueror of death and the one who can raise the dead, expand our vision and strengthen our faith. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. That's a good one, isn't it? But that's not the one I wanted. Go and sit down. Never mind. The one I wanted where I was asking that God would open our eyes to see and ears to hear the things that he wanted us, and that he would take over our lives and move us through into his will, his purpose. But that was still a good one.
Yeah.
Yes. See, I must tidy my computer up sometimes because there's loads of stuff. And I said to David, that's the one I want. And it might actually have two. It's got a very similar title. And they could be next to each other. Yeah. But never mind. The prayer was, Father, I receive right now the infilling of Holy Spirit in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Open my spiritual eyes that I may see and recognize what you are doing. Open my spiritual ears that I might hear what you are saying. Come heal and activate my receptors that I might receive from you in these days all that you have for me. So Father, open our eyes, open our ears to hear and see your kingdom. Open our hearts to receive, we ask in Jesus' name. Last week I was looking at the prayer Jesus taught his disciples. How does it start and finish? Keep going a little bit more. I said, and finish. Thy kingdom come. And it's what's the end? For yours. Thank you, John. I said, how does it begin and end? It begins and ends with kingdom. God's kingdom. That's what Jesus is asking, telling us to ask for the kingdom. But God's kingdom, we can say, is an unseen kingdom. But we'll keep moving into that. Jesus was preparing us to be kingdom citizens, members of God's household. Two of the things we read out at the beginning. Jesus said in John 15, "No longer do I call you servants, but I call you friends." We are God's children. We are Jesus' friends. We are called to rule. We are no longer servants called to just serve. In the ruling, we still serve. Please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But we're not called to be servants. We are called to rule. How does that sit with you? Do you like the idea, if I'm going to rule? Or do you think, well, it's much easier if I just remain a servant and sit and do what I'm told? It's our mindset. New thinking. It's not what's all around us. It's what's within us that makes the difference. Or I should say, who is within us that makes the difference? We can be stuck in the same old ways. The same old ways. Who remembers Beverly Hillbillies? I'm going back a good few years there, aren't I? And there were still some people remembered, yes. For those that can't, yeah, black and white television, that's right, that's going back, that's dating it. Yeah, for those that don't remember, Jed struck oil on that there land. And he was convinced to move off the land because they were putting all the gear on. And he bought a mansion in Beverly Hills. And they moved into this mansion in Beverly Hills. And Grandma comes out. "Can I get that stove going? It's smoking. Flue must be blocked." She was trying to put a fire in the electric oven. Didn't appreciate. Didn't understand the new living. The new way. Still living in the old. Challenge. We laugh at that. How stupid can you get? But some of the things we do are just the same. Are we prepared? I know I keep challenging you. I keep saying it. And you know, I will keep doing it. I have had people in the past say, "You challenge me, I'm leaving." Well, tough. Read the Bible. What does Jesus do? I'm just following him. Yeah, challenge. Are we stuck in the old ways, or are we prepared to embrace the new? And when I say prepared to embrace the new, we don't even know what the new looks like. We don't even know where the new is going to take us. But are we prepared to say, "I trust you, God, and I'm going to go with you, because I know you'll not let harm come to me. And I know that as I step out, as you call me, as you anoint me and appoint me, you've equipped me to do every single thing that you call me to do." Not saying it's going to be a ride in the park or it's going to be easy, but I'm not saying it's going to be a shipwreck either. We're going to move out if we trust God. Are we prepared to accept the challenge and say, "I'm going to go with you, God"? And Jesus was saying, asking us to ask for the kingdom. God's kingdom. Where is it? Jesus told us, it's in heaven, but it's also on earth. We've been given dominion on the earth. Heaven is God's domain. We are to rule on earth. God rules in heaven. Yeah, and moving forward. Jesus came down from heaven to re-establish earthly kingdom. the earthly kingdom. We need to get our heads around it. What's the earthly kingdom intended to be like? It's not just salvation for some. It's not just God reigning in a few hearts. God's desire, and he tells us that in Scripture, is that all will come to know him. That all will recognize Jesus as Lord and Savior. God's kingdom on earth means absolute reign for God over everything and everybody. That's the goal that God's got. That's the task that he set before us. That everyone will hear, be given the opportunity, and come to know, to love, and to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not just reaching up to heaven to pull heaven down into the area we're at. God wants us to establish and advance the kingdom and his purposes. It's not enough just to hear about it. We've got to hear in faith to receive God's grace and God's understanding of what this means. To get into that place, that word comes back again, repentance. You're hearing this regularly, aren't you? It's an ongoing thing. Repentance is necessary for us to lay our minds before God, for us to change. Matthew 13, something we know very familiar. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received seed by the wayside. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who receives, who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises, because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who received seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who received seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Well, look in there. It can be snatched away. The word that God can sow into us. The word that's spoken, if we haven't fully got it, can be snatched away. Because it says, can snatch away what seed sown in his heart. See, we've got to have a proper understanding. It's not just to give it lip service. We've got a proper understanding. We've got there, when there's got the seed on the stony places, there's no root. It's no good just starting off. We see a number of times in scriptures where it's a long-term race. It's an endurance. We've got to keep going. We're told to persevere. We're told to keep asking. We're told to keep pushing. It's not for wimps. And as some people say, it's not a crutch. Yeah. It can be snatched away. We can stumble and fall over it. Or it can go amongst the thorns, where all the problems and the different things in the world stop us from being fruitful. But you see, there's the fourth option there, isn't there? Good ground. And this is why we've been preparing. This is why the preparation's on. I feel like the stony ground has been turned over. The stones have been picked off. And for those from the agricultural fraternity, they will have known years ago, we used to do that. Walk around after the ploughing and pick the stones. I'm a bit loud. And pick the stones off the... So it was no obstruction in the way. See, James goes further in James 1. He tells us to be doers of the word, not hearers only. Because if we're hearers only, we're deceiving ourselves. It hasn't got into that place where it's going to make a difference. A shift has to take place. We have to move from theology, which is just a study of the rational analysis of the Christian faith, to practice. You can have the best theology in the world. You can be the most educated. You can be the most intelligent person in the world. But it makes no difference if you're not putting it into practice. We have to take that step from theory to practice, from knowledge to doing. I'm not saying theology is wrong or anything like that, but it doesn't stop there. But that's the problem that we've got in a lot of the church today. To think it's man's knowledge that matters. It ain't. It's what God says and what God's people do that makes the difference. God wants his kingdom advanced. He doesn't want us stopping just in the pews, in the churches, having a holy huddle on a Sunday morning and going home for the rest of the week. He wants his kingdom advanced. And the kingdom of God is every day of the week. What about my day off? That has to be flexible. Yeah. When did all of this start? But Jesus tells us, Matthew 11:12. And now, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence and the violent take it by force. So from the days of John the Baptist, the kingdom of heaven has been here. That's a long time. Why aren't we seeing it in its fullness, in its fruition? Because we've been disobedient as people. We haven't done exactly what God wanted us to do. There's so much going on. There's so much trial, tribulation, opposition, resistance, whatever word you want to put on it, that we tend to look at the problems. But the answer is, you don't look at the problem. You look at what God's doing. In 2 Corinthians 4:18. So we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are unseen. For the things which are visible are temporal, just brief and fleeting. But the things which are invisible are everlasting and imperishable. Don't look at the things that we see. God is wanting us, he's telling us, he's asking us to look at the invisible. He wants us to be looking into the unseen kingdom, not in what's just going on around us. We're told, aren't we, when we pray, to ask and believe. We can't see the answer yet. But revival is on its way. It's been dispatched. We've been praying. We can't see it yet. We may be starting to see things in small measure, but we can't see it yet. But it's coming. Why? Even though we can't see it, we believe our God when he says something and when he's answering a prayer that we've asked him. 1 Thessalonians 2:13 says, and we also thank God continually for this, that when you receive the word of God, and this is concerning salvation and other things, but we know salvation is all-encompassing, isn't it? Which you have heard from us, you welcome it, not as the word of mere men, but as it truly is, the word of God, which is effectually at work in you who believe, exercising supernatural power in those of faith. So we're exercising supernatural power as we believe in the things of God. As we believe that he's saying. Yeah. The Passion says the Word continues to be an energizing force in us. Do you find that? The Word of God energizes you? If not, I think we need to be asking, Lord, energize me as I read your Word. Be that force that spurs me on. The move from Word, from words, as we receive faith, that the Word becomes a force and a power. To move into revival, we need to recognize, after repentance and a mindset shift, we are stepping into that new realm. The energizing force within us, that's part of that new realm. That we will be different people carrying this force as we move around. If you remember a few years ago, Mark gave a prophetic word, actually just come to me now, where he said two words. One week he came, he looked down and he said this was a power, it was a power station. And as you came in, you were charged up. Your batteries were charged and you would move out, empowered by the presence of God, by the things of God, to take the gospel with you. A few weeks later, he came back. As we're on a progression, remember, we're moving on, we're not staying static. And the word this time was, you are mini generators. So you take and generate wherever you are. Do you want to receive that? Do you want to be a mini generator? So that wherever you go, as soon as you start speaking, you're speaking out power. But you're charging yourself up. As you speak out that power, as you speak out, you encourage yourself as well as other people. Your testimony charges yourself. Because you remember what God has done. And you think, yeah, he did do that. Do it again, Lord. Where's the kingdom? Heaven and on earth. That's what Jesus said. But more specifically, where is the kingdom? Jesus said, repent, for the kingdom of hand, sorry, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Or other versions put near. When you look at Strong's Concordance, it says at hand or near means to bring near, to join one thing to another. So Jesus has joined heaven to earth. He came down. Jesus brought the heavenly kingdom to the earthly realm. To be at hand, he drew it near. It literally means the arrival of his kingdom. So Jesus said the kingdom has arrived on earth as it is in heaven. God's government on earth for us to promote. Yeah, it's not there fully yet, but it's still ongoing. It is advancing. It is growing. Irrespective of the opposition, there are more Christians alive today than all the other Christians since Christ was born added together, and increasing daily. Yes. Jesus went further. This is Luke 17:20. Now when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, see here or see there, for indeed the kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God is within you, you mini generators. It's not behind you. No, it's within you. But Jesus also then went on to give a condition. It's in Luke 18, verse 16 and 17. Jesus called them to him and said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it." That's a stark warning. But how does that come about, that we don't receive it? It's when we keep our own mind and we put the things of God into our mind, not the other way around. That's when we say, "I'm not receiving that." That's when the rebellion comes in. That's when they're just moving against God. If we receive it as a child, we know what children are like, don't we? Every one of us in this room, you tell them something, they believe it. That's the way we're supposed to be. God's telling us things, and he says, "Believe it. Get hold of it." Surrender in our minds. I know I'm labouring it, but it's something we've got to get a hold of and keep moving on. The spreading of the kingdom of God was not just for Jesus to do. We see in Matthew 10, he sends out the 12. Luke 10, he sends out the 70. And what are they told? "Preach the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Then demonstrate it." Signs and wonders. That's a promise that God gives. The signs and wonders will follow the preaching of the gospel. And I know at times I've challenged that, well, hang on, Lord, we haven't seen that. But whose fault's that? Is that mine? It's not God's. Or ours? Yeah. We've got to be expecting, we've got to be anticipating God's move. As the gospel goes forth, God will confirm it with the signs and wonders. We're privileged, and I say that really, I'm meaning it. We are privileged to be citizens of heaven. As citizens of heaven, our number one goal in the kingdom is to submit to the King. To be in the right standing with him. And when we say right standing, that means we are meant to be righteous. Our righteousness comes from him. We have right standing with God. Matthew 6, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." Our first priority is to seek the kingdom and our own righteousness, to move the righteousness given by him as we move forward. Everything, God says, everything else will follow. See, God's like that, isn't he? He gives us one or two things to do, and he does loads. Seek the kingdom first. The kingdom that we can't see, but we're going to do. Through Jesus, we're qualified to be in the kingdom. We're qualified to see the kingdom. We're qualified to demonstrate the kingdom. Through the blood of Jesus, I am justified. Through the blood of Jesus, we are justified, made righteous, just as if we never sinned. Father, grant us faith to see, to reach in, to move into your kingdom. Even though we can't see it, I'll say that, yet. Or we see it in part. We believe it. So open our eyes of understanding, to see, to dwell in, and to demonstrate and spread your kingdom. Thank you, Lord. Amen.